countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, earlier this week, a conference held by Teagasc heard how farmers are being offered contracts to grow hemp in an effort to make Ireland a global supplier of the products derived from the plant. Currently, there are about 40 farmers growing it and processing being carried out at two locations, with CBD oil being made in a laboratory in Athlone, for example. Now, Suzanne Campbell went to meet farmer Ed Hanbridge just outside Baltinglass in County Wicklow to learn more about growing hemp and its reputation as a sustainable crop with many uses. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me more about Ed and his farm.
Ed farms his brother down in Baltinglass, just in the shadow of Cadian Mountain. And like many livestock farmers, you know, we just heard earlier, he's looking for alternatives. They're not really stepping up in terms of the animals they're buying on the farm at the moment. So they're already in a kind of a stasis. He's a younger farmer. He came into farming in 2015 with his dad and brother, and he's growing hemp. He's 40 acres of it. The hemp grown in Ireland and all hemp grown all over the world is different varieties of the plant Cannabis sativa. So it's the cannabis plant, but it's licensed to grow in Ireland because it doesn't have the THC. So the THC is the part of the plant that gives you the high, if you like, and it's called a cannabinoid. And cannabinoid plants have about 114 different cannabinoids. So you can breed varieties that step up in different cannabinoids and step other ones down. So they're grown for different purposes, for building, for textiles, whatever, without the THC. And what he's doing is he's making an oil. It's a very sustainable plant because for every acre that you grow, it's kind of like Jack and the Beanstalk. It just goes on and on and on. It'll cover any weed. You don't have to use pesticides. You're not in there with diesel. And it'll also take in 1.5 tonne of carbon per acre. And it finishes quite quickly. You put it in the ground in May. You harvest it in September. I was down there and his plants are about 4.5, 5 inches high. So it really is a plant that there's a lot of word about and a lot of buzz about. So I first asked him about the farm and how he got into hemp.
We've about 550 acres, which has been split three ways. So there's my father, myself and my brother farming. I started in 2015 and my brother started last year, and my dad has been here since the 80s. The farm would have been originally bought by my grandfather in 1952, and in 1954 he bought Cadian Mountain. There was 400 acres up there and he bought it for £2,000. He bought 200 yos and he put them up on the hill, and he had the whole thing paid back then within 2 years.
Wow.
Well, it just goes to show what money there was in farming. You know, like the price of his lambs back then, I heard he was getting £5 a lamb. That was back in 1956, like.
And if you calculated that out, that's a, you can't even imagine the drop in price. It's hundreds of percent.
And the price of the commodities has gone up, like your price of the meal has gone up, your price of the stock has gone down. It's just a bit of an imbalance at the minute.
How did you get into hemp? Tell us about that.
Well, when I was in college, I did electronic engineering in college down in Waterford. And I was living with a friend of mine, Paul. He was doing civil engineering. He came home one day saying that there was a lad in his class going to do his thesis on building a whole house from hemp. And so I just started looking it up and seeing there was this crop, it had grown in Ireland, you can make all these things out of it. I started looking into it. And then when I started farming in 15, I said, right, well, I'm going to do this hemp, because you learn by doing. At the minute on the farm here now, we have about 40 acres of hemp in the ground. My organic part of the farm, I'm going to have for the hemp seed to produce a hemp oil. The rest of it then will be going seed as well. Then there's the stalk and the flowers.
How much processing of the seed and flowers and stalks and all the elements of the plant is taking place in Ireland at the moment?
Well, the processing of the hemp is nearly non-existent if you look at the fibre side of it. That what you need is a decorticator. And a decorticator separates the fibres from the shiv. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, then basically, you have three products to sell. You'll have the fiber, you'll have the shiv, and you'll have the dust. Now, the fibers can be used for your composites, for your insulation, for textiles, and then the shiv.
What's the shiv?
The inner core of the plant.
Okay.
So it's the woody part of it. It's very high in cellulose. So when it's high in cellulose, you can use it for ethanol. You can make bioplastic out of it, building. When you mix that shiv with lime, you can pour it into a cast. And then you have your outer wall, your cavity, and your inner wall all in one mass block. And then you have a breathable house. You have a house that's antifungal. It's fire resistant. It's a healthy house.
So he's planted a variety called Finola, and variety is key. So if you want the fibre stuff for building, you plant the variety that grows to 12 foot tall. This Finola variety that he has only grows to about 4 foot and has a very high yield of seed, about half a tonne per acre. So he's collecting the seed and he's getting them processed. So I asked him a little bit more about the oil.
It's very high in the omegas. It has the perfect balance for human consumption. It's not a cooking oil. It's polyunsaturated fats oil. It doesn't like that high heat. Mm-hmm. But it is good for putting on your salad, in pestos, in hummus.
Like an olive oil.
Yeah. And your spreads there again, like you can use it. It has GLA, which is gamma linolenic acid, and that's an anti-inflammatory. And there's very few plants have that. It has 20 amino acids, magnesium, zinc. It's really, really good for you. So far, what I have done is I have sent it up to Luke McGuinness, who is Irish Health Oils. Mm-hmm. So he's set up for it. He has the cold press and he's FSCI approved. He puts it into a bottle and labels it, and then I sell it.
And where are you selling it?
So far, just on Facebook. So yeah. It's only a market that I'm dipping my toe into at the minute. But put it up on Facebook, and in 2 weeks, I had 200 bottles sold. So there is a market there. People are looking for it.
So this is a type of a food oil. Now, mm-hmm. people might be familiar hearing a lot about CBD oil, and the FSAI are being quite heavy about CBD oil at the moment. Basically, if you cold press an oil, you get Ed's type of oil, and it has very low level of CBD, which is the cannabinoid oil. It is a kind of a, I suppose it gives a nerve deadening, a drowsy effect, and it attaches to cannabinoids endosystem in our body, which I didn't know anything about, but it's absolutely fascinating. CBD oil then is oil available on the marketplace. There's only one or two places now manufacturing it in Ireland. You have to have a European license to manufacture it. And a lot of the methods used to get the CBD out of the plant is using carbon dioxide and solvents and stuff that's not particularly safe on the marketplace. So you have to be very careful mm-hmm. if you're buying CBD oil. Food oil, which Ed is making, can be done just with a normal FSAI license, okay. not a European license. And it is again like an olive oil, so it's a really safe product and a very interesting product. But Edward is actually more interested in the fibrous part of the plant and what could be done with that in terms of building, construction, textiles. But he feels that not enough processing and investment is happening in this area. You need the market to want the products, but you also need the processing. And I asked him a little bit more on that what do we need to do to get more of this sustainable product out into the marketplace?
Well, we need to build on the markets, and then we need to build the processing units. Then once we have the two then working together, it's a chicken egg sort of situation. What do you do first? But the market is there. It just needs to be built on. And then the likes of the big processing, getting the value out of the fibres and the shave. That's what we need to really shove on, because there's so many things that we can do with that fibre. We need the backing of our government because it's an expensive process. So we need the support there and the incentives there. If policy was put in place for to use hemp products over oil products or petrochemical products, well then that's a plus for our farmers, because we are growing it and we're processing it and we're selling it, and it's all in country. It's all done here. Why aren't we doing it?
Is the predicament that there's more growers than there is places for the crop to go?
Yeah, that is it at the minute. Like, there'd be no hassle getting farmers to grow it. That's not going to ever be a problem. So it's building that market, and it's building the image of hemp being a safe product and a sustainable product, and having the machinery and equipment there to handle it, and the processing units to make it into the various different products. That's where we need to get now. We need to get more products being made and build a market and show how this is a carbon negative crop. So everyone is a winner.
Everyone's a winner. Are we going to hear a lot more about this as the years go on?
Absolutely. I think really it's sustainability, I think, is the key thing.
Yeah.
It's so multi-purpose. The medical end is going to have huge investment by international pharmaceuticals anyway, and we're seeing that happening around the world. There's been big problems with opiates, as we know, in the States. I think a lot of them are looking into cannabis as a potential solution. And best of all, it grows great in Ireland, and you don't need to throw loads of pesticides and fungicides on it, because it's just an animal of a crop.
Right. And that could be the diversification that the farmers in Ballinrobe earlier on were looking for.
You've answered
their problems for them, Suzanne. What a programme we've had today. They're starting half an hour ago, they're wondering,
cannabis,
what are we going to do?
Cannabis is the solution to the livestock problem. There you go.